So I'm a guy named Mike McCafferty. Middle-aged, late middle-age, early old age? No, that can't be. Fit, trim, I've got a new haircut. Here in the pandemic, I've got a new haircut. And I do a podcast. I've been doing a podcast for almost 5 years now. Five-year mission. Oh, wow. Five-year mission. I think I'm getting ready to eclipse the maximum amount of episodes of any series, like 176. And for the past 5 years, I've been doing this podcast called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. And I'm podcasting. I'm also going to post this video on my Facebook page, on your Facebook page. I have a Facebook page for I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. If you're just joining us, if you're a podcast friend, if you're a friend of the pod, and you want to check out a little more additional content, go to the Facebook page. If you don't want to do Facebook, if you have an Oculus account that suddenly locked you out of Facebook forever and ever, I do tweet on occasion at Mike McCafferty. You can check that stuff out. Listen to me plugging myself. This is crazy. But I've already tried to record it the first time. I tried to record this the first time and I sort of stopped. This is sort of freewheeling. I didn't know if I was going to watch any more Discovery. Last time, I just want to talk about Star Trek. I didn't want to watch any more Discovery. It stopped at episode 10. The second part of the abysmal mirror universe / ruining of a city on the edge of forever. Spoiler alert, if you love Discovery, you may not like this podcast because I go back and forth. Maybe you'll appreciate my honesty on this. Not the truth, I was gonna say the truth, but not my honest feelings about this. I really wanted to like Discovery this time, but I feel like someone who is in an abusive relationship because every time Discovery promises to be good to me, I go back and I end up with a broken heart. They cheat on me with story. They do bad story, they do bad plots. And they start out so well this month or this season three. It starts so promising. It was, yes, it was a clone of The Mandalorian in some ways, but that was okay. Episodic, fun ideas, this kind of overarching burn thing, which we're going to find out in the next episode is so, well, let's just leave that for that. But I had a little bit of time on my hands. I finished watching The Expanse. By the way, The Expanse is phenomenal. I mean, you know, that is not Star Trek, but at times when I look at the crew, when they're together and they're having fun, it feels very Star Trek-like. That's all I can say. You know, I mean, when people are trusting each other and having fun as a crew, and the Discovery crew is starting to do that. For sure, they're starting to do that. They're not fighting each other. But I don't know if sometimes if that trust and fun is earned yet, because the way they handle most things are kind of all over the map. This is sort of like a larger breakdown of Discovery for me to get to the point of me saying that I broke down myself and I watched a couple more episodes of Discovery. There's three remaining. There's 11, 12, 13. I was just going to watch episode 13. Just going to get it on my system. Just like, let me just watch this. Just like I watched the last episode of Lower Decks. And I liked it. It was good. I'll talk about it sometime. But so I'll just watch the last episode of Discovery and just kind of, you know, cap it off. So at least I know how it ends. But then as I started up, I was like, oh, some things have happened. This is kind of like an arc. Got a little mini arc going on here. And I actually started on 11, but I couldn't do 11. I know there's Kelpian stuff there. I was like, oh, man, maybe I'll just jump into 12. Just jump into 12. So I started watching 12. I did watch 12. I did watch 13. And all I want to talk to you about in this episode, if I just want to talk about Star Trek, five-year mission. We're in year five now. I don't know when I started, but it was in 2016. I don't know the exact date, the exact star date. But we're heading into our fifth year here on this. Can you believe that? I can't. But I started. What was I saying? So I really wanted to zoom in on one moment here. I'm going to share this. Now, if you want to go to Facebook, you want to check that out, check out my Facebook page. I just want to talk about Star Trek Facebook page. If you don't have Facebook for whatever reason, I have a Twitter account at Mike McCafferty. But let me just share this. Let me just show you what we got here. And you'll be able to hear it too. So don't worry about it. No, that's my picture right there. I'm going to increase that. I know I'll probably get flagged for, you know, Facebook saying, hey, you have some copyright material. So I'm showing this to be purely rhetorical to talk about it, but who cares, right? Who cares? let's just watch this little scene. So to set the scene, Osyra, who is the bad girl from Wicked. No, she's a Green Orion girl, but she does look a lot like, was it the Elphaba or whatever it is, the Wicked Witch of the West. She has captured Discovery, taken it into the Starbase, into their Starbase bubble, and is now negotiating with Admiral Dance. I think that's his name, Admiral Dance, played by the Mummy. They're having these very cordial negotiation, because she is, I guess she's in charge of the Emerald Chain. It's never quite clear. She's like a magistrate, or she's somehow in charge, and she wants to have a meeting. So like, oh, something's got to be up, right? But no, in fact, she really just wants to have a meeting with the president. But because they're nervous about this, they want to have the admiral talk to him. Oh, that's clever, right? So we're not going to meet the president. Remember when the president was Kurtwood Smith? Oh, and can I just say one thing? I posted that I just want to talk about Star Trek Facebook page and Twitter. But rest in peace, Christopher Plummer, General Chang. Good Klingon, good Shakespearean spouting Klingon. He died today, and that's a bummer. 91 years old, had a great life. Sound of Music, tons of other movies. He was in Up, I think. I mean, he just did everything. And he brought such a gravitas to that role that really, I mean, we've seen other Klingons not do as well. You can go to Star Trek V. That guy, I mean, I don't remember who he was who played that Klingon, the sleeveless Klingon. So you got to have a good Klingon. And Christopher Plummer knocked out of the park and was able to match Shatner's acting beat for beat. And it's a shame that he is not with us anymore. But I am grateful for his legacy. And now with that, let me show you this scene. So they have this kind of armistice, this kind of negotiation scene here. They're at this table, and we start off with this plate of delicious fruits on the table. Osyra is taking a bite. And man, she's got big rings. She got big rings in her hand. I'm sorry. She's taking a bite of an apple. There's one that isn't cut up, and there's one that's cut, and she's taking a bite. There's no seeds in that apple. Well, look at that apple. There's no seeds. Wow. The future is wonderful.
It doesn't quite taste like the real thing, does it?
I've never eaten a real apple.
Well, how sad. Apples are a thing of beauty. If you want to talk about oppression, you should start in your own mess hall.
It's made of our shit, you know. That's the base material that we use in our replicators. We deconstruct it to the atomic level and then reform the atoms. It's pretty good for shit.
That's all I want to talk about. I just want to talk about shit. All right, so there is so much to unpack about this, and I will spoil this by saying that none of this conversation really has a whole lot of contextual relevance to the actual conversation. This is just an aside he puts out here, Admiral Charles Dance here puts out here, just... I don't know why he says it. Well, he does go on. He says this.
And we don't have to commit atrocities for it.
That's fine. So that's why it leads into it. He's sort of digging at her, even though they're trying to negotiate. Bad way to negotiate, right? By making somebody feel bad about the stuff they've already done. But let's unpack some of this. The replicators, at least in the 31st century, and perhaps in all Star Trek shows, are now being retroactively continuity'd that they are powered by shit. In their words, not mine. I like to kind of, you know, like Steve Martin never liked to use foul language, but that's, you know, this is CBS All Access, soon to become Paramount Plus with Paw Patrol. Are they going to have swearing in the next season of Discovery and Picard? Because Paw Patrol is going to be right next to it. Can you say the word shit right next to Paw Patrol? I don't know. I guess we'll find that out. Maybe next to Blue Bloods. I don't know. But the premise has now been established that replicators run on shit. And let's be super clear, is that he just goes out and says it. Now, I presume they're drawing this upon the idea, well, not the idea, the fact that on the International Space Station, and a lot of different, you know, like sometimes on the shuttle, they process urine and turn it back into water. They remove all the solid material and cleanse it. And certainly here, at least in America, we will take water, like sewage water, we will treat it in sewage treatment facilities and return it to its pristine water. We will remove the sediments, whatever that may be, including shit, and turn it into clean drinking water. We all know that. This is not a big surprise. But in the 31st century, they still choose to consume poop, feces. I don't want to say it too much, but we have to. This is canon now. This is part of Star Trek, and you have to live with that. Every time you see someone eating something on Star Trek, they are eating shit. Except maybe in Star Trek, except, well, let's quantify who that is. Probably not in Enterprise, right? Because they didn't have replicators. I don't think they did. On Voyager, Neelix was cooking. Man, you want to eat that stuff from Neelix now, right? Because that's not made of fecal material, right? What else? I mean, I guess the original series, yeah, probably. But they had those little cubes, those little green and yellow cubes they used. Maybe it hadn't processed well enough. Although they could also make like chicken soup and stuff. I guess people made a choice to eat those little green and yellow cubes on Star Trek because on the original series, because they thought, well, you know, if I'm going to eat shit, I might as well just make it look as weird and abstract as possible. You know, if it looks like chicken, you know, if it looks like a taco, if it looks like asparagus, I know exactly what I'm still eating. I'm eating myself. I'm eating my refuse. So I might as well look like cubes. I'm sorry if this is gross. I'm sorry if this freaks you out. I'm sorry if I've upset anyone's sensibilities, delicate sensibilities. But we need to talk about this because you as a lover of Star Trek must now love this, right? Right? Replicators run on shit, at least in the 31st century, and I presume moving all the way down. I still have questions about this, though. Now, I get, he said, so let me just play this again. Let's just play this whole sequence again. There's the fruit, Syrah.
It doesn't quite taste like the real thing, does it?
I've never eaten a real apple.
He's never eaten a real apple. Do they not have apple trees anymore? Maybe they don't. Do they not get shipments of apples? Are there no more apple trees in the universe? I mean, maybe because of the burn, they have to sit in that little bubble there and they have to like keep on self-consuming themselves. But anyways, he's never eaten a real apple.
Well, how sad. Apples are a thing of beauty.
I want to also say that Osira's accent is all over the map here. Right there, that's kind of a little like Chicago. Well, how sad. Hey, what are you going to do about that, huh? Maybe a little, you know, Northeastern. And then she kind of gets into the, you know, but you're talking about the past. So it suddenly goes a little transatlantic. I don't know quite I don't quite know what's going on here, but let's just see that. Let's just leave that right there.
You want to talk about oppression, you should start in your own mess hall.
It's made of our shit, you know.
This is such an escalation. This is such a huge drop, no pun, that you would just suddenly share this as you're trying to negotiate with someone. You know, I mean, like, I don't want to spoil Game of Thrones, but a pie is baked for who's the guy? Walter Frey. And it is, well, I'll spoil it. If you don't listen, it is made out of parts of his sons. And you know, the girl's like, oh, look inside. And it's like, he pulls out a toe. It's like, oh my God. You don't do that for negotiations. You know, you just don't do that. You don't tell someone that an apple is actually made of shit. And so I don't quite understand his negotiating tactics. Maybe the president should have been there. Maybe he would have said, ew, you know what? That apple is made of shit, but I am not going to tell Osira because we're negotiating, because we're trying to hammer out a peace treaty because the Federation has been baffled by what has caused the burn for 120 years. Discovery's going to figure it out super quick. They're just going to roll in there and, like, you know, with Burnham having a year head start, and then Discovery shows up with like 3 or 4 months. They figure it out. Like, yeah, we got it. Rest of Federation. Ha ha. I don't know what the analogy would be. I mean, I have a couple of ideas. Like if someone showed up from the 14th century and said, you know what? We fixed global warming. You just have to stop driving your cars. Oh my God. Thank goodness. Thank goodness you're here. All right. So let's see Osiris with her incredible ring armada, like an armada of rings she has in her hand. And they're so gigantic. They're almost the length of her finger. She has green fingernails. But they're pretty long. Green lipstick, black hair with some green streaks. I don't know if she dyes that. I don't know if that's like a thing. We know that the Orions have like black hair. But let's just see how she feels about this. He keeps on going.
That's the base material that we use in our rep.
She takes the apple out of her mouth. She's like, whoa. Replicators.
We deconstruct it to the atomic level and then reform the atoms. It's pretty good for shit.
All right. So yeah, it's pretty good for shit. So people, let's continue to break this down. Okay. So you could take a bunch of supplies, certainly in Discovery. Discovery is cavernous. In the next episode, they're going to be running around in these. It's been joked at how big elevator shafts, turbo shafts are. We're going to see a shot where people still are not quite sure if that's not like in the star base or if that's like on inside a moon or something, because there's so much space in there. You could house so much food in there, like freeze dried or whatever. Or let me give you another idea. So first of all, this admiral didn't have to tell her that it's from the shit. He could just say, we take it for materials, break it down to its atomic structure, right? Because all things are atoms, right? We could be eating part of the wall. Great. It's just a bunch of atoms. Give me some carbon atoms, you know, give me some salt atoms, whatever. Put them together. Then you get a hamburger. Sure, why not? But he goes an extra mile to tell her that this is from my shit. This is like apple from me, you know, and I eat it again. And then just the cycle is forever. But he didn't have to share that. And I don't know if they actually need to consume that on the show. In the ship. And you say, well, Mike, I mean, like, what are they going to do? They're going to get rid of their waste products. They're going to flush it out into space. And then they'll have less and less. And where are they going to get that raw material to make it work? I have a solution. I want you to listen to this very carefully. So let's say that the Discovery crew, like for the replicator cycle, consumes, let's say, 1,000 pounds worth of food, like in the course of a week. And so they need that much shit in order to keep the replicators going. Before you leave space dock, you have enough raw materials of like cellulose and whatever minerals and vitamins, like in block form, just sitting somewhere near the replicator. And then when you have run out of food, you take those raw materials broken down into their atomic levels that everything that needs and use that to feed the replicators. But what if you run out? You're going to run out, Mike. You just have one shipment there. No. Listen to me. Because Admiral Apple Eater, he says this, let's see. I got to skip ahead of that.
I want to talk about oppression. You should start in your own mess hall.
It's made of our shit, you know.
I know, I'm sorry to say that.
That's the base material that we use in our replicators. We deconstruct it to the atomic level.
So if you deconstruct it to the atomic level with your replicators, you can reconstruct what comes out of you back into the base stuff. Back into like the cubes of cellulose and gelatin and all that stuff. So it doesn't have to be straight out of the tube and straight in the replicator. That way everyone feels a little better, right? People say, hey, what are those cubes there? What's that protein cube? And what's that starch cube? Oh, that's our replicator food. Oh, where does it come from? Well, we take our waste and we treat it and turn it into those cubes. And then we feed it back in the replicator. Oh, okay. So you're never quite eating your own refuse. You're treating it and then reusing it. That's just my call. Now, he makes this argument.
And then reform the atoms. It's pretty good for shit. And we don't have to commit atrocities for it.
that she has committed atrocities.
And you're wasting my time. Are we negotiating or not?
Fine.
You're not negotiating. You are eating apples, like sour, bad apples. And then Osira, basically, she says,
if the chain is to unite with the Federation, you need to send the message that our culture is fundamentally valid and ethical.
And how are we supposed to do that?
By acknowledging that capitalism is already happening within the Federation. When was the last time anyone from around here visited Deep Space 253?
A while.
87 years.
Not by choice.
It's way the hell out there. But DS-253 has been trading with an Emerald Chain mercantile for nearly a century. You need to sanction that trade. And you need to permit the chain to establish an embassy on the station.
Embassy on the station. So I don't know. It sounds like she gets a little cockney there. So Osira, with the Emerald Chain, which is, it sounds like it's much more powerful than the Federation. The Federation's been beaten back. She's coming with this olive branch, you know, which has delicious, naturally grown apples. Hey, can I tell you something as well? Can I give you one last little bit about this apple stuff? Apples are grown lots of times using fertilizer. I'm just going to put that out there, that we are all eating the same stuff. And so I don't know why he chose to put that out. But Osira basically comes up with this plan, says, you know what? Listen, we want to be friends. We want to make this work. But you have to recognize capitalism. And that's what's been holding back the Federation. They won't acknowledge this capitalist society. So Osira keeps going. She keeps on saying, she keeps on pushing. And the next scene, she basically says, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Let's see, where is she saying that? She basically says, here's this ironclad contract. And there's no subterfuge, because I got this weird like ventriloquist dummy who's sitting there, this dude who's sitting there with a bow tie, just like a pump boy or something, like making sure that she's being truthful. And so Admiral looks over this contract and says, yeah, it looks good.
An idea.
This armistice, it's very impressive. You made a lot of concessions.
I told you I came to make a deal.
There's one more thing.
Ask, I'm in a charitable mood.
Who's going to be?
Ask, I'm in a charitable mood. Who is she? What's going on here?
Be the face of this. In official Federation matters, who's actually going to represent the chain?
Yeah, I see what you're getting at. Can't be me. It's my reputation. Well, I would appoint someone appropriate. A well-respected scientist, perhaps.
And that person won't just be a proxy for you?
Of course not.
That is not the truth.
Oh, he glitched. Ask me again.
Ask me again. All right, so I don't know why.
If this armistice to be worth anything, then the person representing the chain has to be proven credible. And the only way that can happen is if he or she functions completely independently of you and tries you for your crimes.
All right, that's what I wanted to get to. So the Federation has been beaten back. You know, they suck. I mean, they're like five ships and 10 planets, and they've blown it. The burn in 120 years, everything collapsed. They lost Vulcan. Earth is pissed off at them. No one likes the Federation. The Federation's kind of on their own because they've blown it. And the Emerald Chain's coming for them. The Emerald Chain, you know, like with their capitalism, is coming for them. But Osira, who has these strange negotiating powers, and she vows to disavow slavery now there, and also she's going to roll back all this stuff, any sort of atrocities, she's going to roll back as long as they can be recognized by the Federation. Join forces. And this animal says, no, one more thing. We have to try you for your crimes. And it's, you know, I mean, I guess I understand it, but, you know, Osira has a pretty good counter argument.
Excuse me?
They're well documented. You've never stood trial because no one's been able to compel the chain.
Well, whose trial? If she's with the Emerald Chain, isn't that her government? then she's guilty of nothing. So the Federation wants to try people outside of their purview. Eh.
You're staring at the past. I just drew you.
The past.
You a real map to the future.
The past is the only light with which we can see the future. Your willingness to do this will send a message, and I promise you, I will not let anyone forget that.
It's just more abstractions. The past cannot be undone.
But it could be made right.
We all had to make hard choices because of the burn. Spare me your judgment.
Sir, I want peace.
Yeah, exactly. In these horrible, terrible times here, sometimes tough decisions need to be made. And so somehow there's a little bit of righteousness here. No, I get it. I get it. I mean, this is Star Trek. This is the Federation. They have to hold themselves to a higher standards. I get it. You know, I'm not pushing on this point too hard. I'm not trying to make too much of this, but as he's sitting there talking about how they eat their own shit, is he not willing to make some concessions for the betterment of the entire galaxy? Does the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one? God, I can't believe I messed it up. I got so flustered. Is this standing in the way of himself, especially when he's got Michael Burnham, who's doing all sorts of crazy stuff? And let us not forget that Michael Burnham shows up in this century and starts shooting all of the Emerald Chain people indiscriminately, like vaporizing them, not just stunning them, vaporizing them. And now somehow the Federation has this higher moral high ground. I wonder if, and this is Odette Fair, the Admiral, I wonder if this Osira actress, I don't know where she's from, I wonder if she's picking up on his sort of like regionalized, you know, like slightly more proper intonations and inflections. And so every once in a while, it's like, we can't talk about the past. Let's talk about the future. Or maybe she's just from England and she's doing a really good American accent. I don't know, but it flips in and out and no one caught that to do some automatic dialogue replacement. All right, does this say anything else that's interesting?
I want the Federation to join the chain and I want to learn from your great society. The burn has left us with a legacy of fear, of isolation, of scarcity that still clouds our moral clarity, a clarity that I fight for on a daily basis, and I ask my people to die for. So if that's the reason that we can't reach an accord today, well.
No, the reason is because you offered her an apple that you said was made of shit. And when you start off negotiations like that, it's going to go like that. I have chosen to share this sequence with you here because maybe it's because I'm paying off a punchline. Maybe I'm paying off the punchline by declaring that Discovery is literally made of shit. I don't know. Or maybe I just wanted to flag that because it's so weird. It's such a weird thing. And it does upend them that they would choose to talk about that first and then take the strange moral high ground that I don't know if it stands up. Now, what it does structurally, and I'll tell you this, is it still, to be honest, I don't quite understand why Osira is fighting for this. There didn't seem anything ulterior to her up until this point. She seemed to legitimately want peace. And so I'm not 100% sure what the subterfuge was for, why she was working so hard on this. If they have the superior forces, then who cares? Steal the ship, you know, take off with it. But this shows the Federation is righteous enough to at least being willing to negotiate, but then walk away. We at least had to hear them out. I don't know if I buy it. I think it's, you know, it's a bunch of apples. All right. I can't talk too much about this. I talked about a half hour about this. Sorry about that. But I think I'm right about this. I think that was a weird scene done by a good actor, you know? But otherwise I don't quite know why it's there. And I think it kind of sets into canon something that none of us really needed to know about. I don't know how many, well, no, I don't even know. You probably know where I'm going. I've never seen that many bathrooms in Star Trek. And now it's all I'm going to be thinking about. And now you are too. I'm Mike McCafferty. I just want to talk about Star Trek?